2021. Gang's all here. JR, Simmer, and Hammer. And you are waking up to another beauty day. Sunshine on the way today, 22 degrees. That's not warm enough for you. Tomorrow, sunny, 24. And then the weekend outlook looks pretty decent as well. Saturday, kind of a mixed bag. Sun clouds, maybe some showers, 21. And then for Sunday, back into sunshine at 23 degrees. So we're in for a run of very nice days. Yesterday was a beauty as well. And right now we're sitting at a somewhat coolish 5 degrees. As we say good morning, as we wrap up the Sen Season 2, Sean Simpson. How are you this morning, Simmer?
I'm excellent, JR. And speaking of run, went on a little walk run with old Echo there yesterday. Got in my 5 clicks, and I just want to. I know a lot of my local neighbors or my neighbors are actually listeners. Just a little apology. Came home from the run, had a shower, kind of cruising around just with a towel on, and I realized, you know what? I'm going to get out on the balcony, going to get a little sun out there. First time in 7 months I've had any sun on the body. I just sat down there. Now, I was covered up. You know, the towel was on, even brought out a blanket, had Echo the dog with me. But, you know, Casper the ghost out on the deck there yesterday probably was not a strong sight for the neighbors. So if anybody was offended by that, but I just sat back there, JR, and I was just like, this is utopia right here. Give me some sunshine and start turning that white old body into something nice. So I'm good to go.
So you've gone shower, no bath. The bath is already done, or the bath was later?
No, it was a little bit of a time constraint. A little dinner time there, so had the shower, which was pretty good. Also, I kind of cruised in after, and I'm still in my winter gear, so I've got the pants on, I've got my little hat on, got gloves on, got a winter coat. Now, it's a thin one, and I have stuff under, so a lot of sweating. The sweating's the key. And as I cruised back into the apartment, I got a little bit of a signal from Mira. She was working at her desk that I was actually El Stinko and that I must go right to the shower immediately. So
did she give you a Ron McLean eyebrow or what?
Yeah, well, no, just like...
Just a knowing look?
Well, yeah. You know, because I usually, from a BO standpoint, you know, usually you can at least kind of assess yourself. But at times you're in a bit of a denial. So I just kind of cruised through and she's like, my God, you're leaving a trail of stank here. Get in the shower.
Okay.
So
you don't have to tell me twice.
No, exactly.
There
so
you go.
Got in, but it really was, you know, just a little small spark. And I think between 4 and about 6:30, we get sun on the deck there, and it just was really nice. And I'm sure for a lot of people, like I said, it was just kind of funny. I said to Hammer, literally, it's mid-October. It's probably been 7 months for most people. I know you get out and walk the dog, but where you can just really just sit out and just kind of enjoy it. So this next stretch of weather, I think, has a lot of people excited just as we finish the old ice hockey season.
Well, we had that nice run of that nice run in April, though.
That's true.
There was about 2 weeks there in April,
which
was probably equitable to what we're in the middle of right now.
Yeah.
But that was just a little tease.
Exactly.
Now we're into, next week will be the first official day of, is it May, right? No, it's June. June is when summer starts, right?
Yeah. Is it June 21st?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. But I also, I know what you're saying about April, but I don't always bring myself around to, because part of, as you said, it's a bit of a tease where now you're kind of more into, okay, I know it might not be 22 every day, but at least we're headed towards summer. At least the days are a little bit longer. So it just feels different. It feels like, hey, now, right now, mid-May, I think we're in May, mid-May to mid-October. That's the sweet spot as far as Ottawa weather. So let's just hunker down and enjoy it.
Okay. All right. Good stuff.
Yeah.
And we got a nice weekend ahead.
Yeah.
Hammer, what do you got to say for yourself?
Well, what do you mean, what do I have to say for myself?
Well, you're over there like the old cat that swallowed the canary.
Oh, I'm just kind of busy. I'm getting mentally prepared for what should be a pretty busy show with Gar. What's that? Who's waking up at 7:45? What player to speak to the media who wants to get out of town that quickly?
It's not even 7:45. Well, that means they're speaking to the media, which means they've already had their exit interview and their final medical.
Yeah.
So as we speak right now at 6:13, I'd like to say good morning to all the Ottawa Senators driving to the rink, including those that drew the short straw and get the early tea time, as it were. I don't know if there's a pecking order, if Brady Tkachuk and Thomas Chabot get to choose when they get their exit interview, or whether they're first or last, or what?
Oh, I know. Well, again, no disrespect to them being the best players. I would assume, JR, this is quite simply years of service. I don't care that Brady Tkachuk's your best player, man. You're in year 3 here, so I'm assuming old Jimmy Stew, any of the rookies, anybody else. And this is also the big difference, guys, of how the players live now. In the good old days, I mean, you're just probably heading to bed after a night bender, right? Like, you're still drunk after the night the end
Speaking
of the
stink.
Well, no,
DJ will be sitting behind his desk going,
well,
whoa.
Well, no, no. Now they've had like a power shake and they've had a banana. You know, they've been to bed early. They probably were crazy and ordered late night pizza. You know, that was probably living on the edge for most of them. But honestly, I you know, an exit meeting, most seasons, successful, not successful. Like I said, don't show up for a couple of days here. That was the boys get together right away. Now, I know it is COVID. But still, you know, you just, hey, you want to just let the, you know, for teams, and again, I guess this is COVID, JR, no matter what your success has been, there's always a realization, I think, a sadness when you're on a team of understanding that anybody from Anisimov to whatever changes that are made, you're not going to be together as a crew. So I always found at any level, junior, pro, there was always kind of that feeling of finality that I think also brought a little bit of sadness at the same time.
Well, especially this year, right? This would of all the years that you'd be, if sad is the right way to describe it, that it's wrapping up. This would be the year. I mean, Connor Brown said it on the post game show last night. He was like, "We wish the season was 82 games. What might have happened had we had 26 more games to go?" I mean, the Ottawa Senators are coming on strong. The way they were playing now. If there were 26 more games to go in this season, they would have made the playoffs.
Yeah,
I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Well, again, outside of Edmonton dominating them, which you wondered if you could fix, well, there's nobody in the Canadian division, including Toronto, with the way that they played, that you say, yeah, absolutely. And also to that, I think you're also looking around, and for the majority of the crew, you know, there's not going to be a ton of changes. The majority of those guys that finished last night that are on the roster are going to be back. And speaking of players that are finishing strong, you know, I've loved the way Brady Tkachuk every year seems like he's revving up like there's going to be a playoff. But if there's a player that found an extra gear, and I know it's the Toronto Maple Leafs, but Connor Brown's anticipation and his speed down the stretch there, his confidence, and again, back to Mark Methot's comment, just even going to Team Canada. Like, you watched him last night, and you're like, man, that's one of the flat-out best players on the ice. And not only has he evolved as a goal scorer, it's interesting to see the confidence he has to try to make plays now, right? Like, like he's doing stuff with the puck now, where not that he's not still safe, especially on the PK, but you can just feel where, man, oh, man, the speed, everything that's happening with this guy. Yeah, he's probably thinking, I wish I could play a little longer. No doubt I would have scored 30 goals this year in the National Hockey League.
All right, Sens win 4-3 in overtime. We'll spend lots of time this morning reviewing the game, but more so the season. As Hammer mentioned, it is garbage bag today for the players. They're wrapping it up this morning, so they'll be... as they call them, media availabilities with the players. I think we're going to hear in total from perhaps as many as 15 of them throughout the day today. Won't bring all of them to you, but certainly the ones that either have something interesting to say or that people are always interested in hearing from. DJ Smith will speak this afternoon. Pierre Dorion, the team's general manager, will speak tomorrow. And then that will put a wrap on it. Of course, there are a few players, and maybe we'll find out today, that are going to be heading to the World Hockey Championships. Found out yesterday that Connor Brown and Nick Paul are going to represent Canada. We know that Artem Zub is going to represent Russia, and we may hear about another player or two perhaps today. So there will be some representation and, I guess, in a roundabout way, a continuation of Sens hockey for at least some of the players for fans to watch over the next couple of weeks at the Worlds.
Yeah, from Paul to Brown, Jer, not sure about World Championship to tune in, but certainly as far as Mr. Power, and there's no doubt from a Team USA standpoint, for most Sens fans that tracked UND, have to switch your clock around. Not an hour earlier, it's going to end up being Latvia's probably 6 hours, 6 hours later.
Most of the games are at 1 in the afternoon.
Are they?
Time.
Okay,
yep.
Okay.
So Canada gets the prime time.
Yeah, so having an opportunity to watch Sanderson if he's playing for Team USA, and we'll see the rest. And just a little note from yesterday that came later in the day, did think it was pretty cool of DJ Smith to put old Artie Party in the lineup. We certainly had a ton of fun with him, and I was off when he dressed up in Vancouver as the goaltender there, that I thought was awfully cool. But for a guy that's probably ending what's been a nice career in the National Hockey League, with the Rangers to Columbus to Chicago, and certainly not great here in Ottawa, but hey, had a nice career for himself, and to put him in the lineup last night, thought that was really classy by DJ Smith.
All right, thoughts on what you saw last night, what you saw this season, now that it's wrapped up, your anticipation level for the 2021-22 season in October, we hope. What's it like this morning? We'll get into your thoughts as well. You can text us at 12-1200, tweet at us at TSN1200. There is certainly much to discuss and go over. It's been a very, very interesting season. It was the worst of times. It was the best of times. We'll come back and talk about it when we return here on Sports Radio TSN 1200.
This is TSN 1200.
Welcome back, 622 on this Thursday morning. J.R. Simmer and Hammer with you. Don't forget, our TSN $1,200,000 minute is coming up just before 8 o'clock this morning. 10 questions, 60 seconds. Hammer, you had a chance to peruse the questions?
I did, sir. And there's two pretty good ones. There's two tricky ones. I always like seven because people's memories are so short. And number two.
Number two. I went with an early, tricky question.
Yeah.
I went with a question to sort of shake people's confidence. normally we begin with first one, always a layup question that you should never miss. And usually there's kind of a build-up, and then by the five or six, you know, you might get one that's a little bit tricky or a little bit difficult.
You're purposely playing mind games with the listener early on in the $1,000 minute.
Think about it this way. If you're the person that's lucky enough to get through today and play the game, if you get through two, which is a bit of a minefield, okay, I would say overall, I want to say it's easy street. I'm kind of itching. I got a bit of a trigger finger to give away this $1,000. It's been, what, 3-4 weeks since we gave away $1,000?
3 weeks.
Yeah. So I'm kind of feeling the need to give away some cash.
Well, you can always just pass some to Simmer and myself.
Not a chance. It doesn't
always need to be the listener, does it?
Hammer, I want you to fire up Easy Street from the Annie movie if anybody wins $1,000, because I'm thinking of Carol Burnett right now. Flashback from the movie. Do you remember that clip, JR? Could you remember that far back?
No.
Okay. That's where
all of our listeners that are 60 and older.
I know. They've abducted Annie, and all of a sudden they think they're going to be rich, and they go into the Easy Street song. That's your real good part of the musical.
Okay.
Had to tuck that in.
Okay. There we go. 6:24. Let's take you back to overtime. Last night, Sens and Leafs tied at 3.
Here's a steal by Brady Tkachuk. He and Norris. Norris shoots. Scores! Norris wins it in overtime.
Yeah, Dean Brown with a call right there. 9 seconds into extra time. So when overtime began, you go, okay, all right, I don't want the season to end. I like a little bonus hockey here. What a good way to end. Well, hopefully you didn't close your eyes because it was over in 9 seconds as Brady Tkachuk intercepted a Mitch Marner pass, feeds Josh Norris his roomie for the game-winning goal, and the Sens take their season-closing game 4-3 over the Leafs. So they began the season with a win over Toronto, and they end the season with a win over Toronto.
Yeah, and not my negativity or kind of despise the look on Matthews and Marner. I think Matthews, first of all, great player, I think has evolved. Even old Mitch Marner, by all accounts, talking to people in Toronto, great kid. I thought that little penalty on interference early in the game on Brady Tkachuk was pretty cheesy, where he barely touched him, got a penalty right there, a little hook, and all of a sudden Brady sends in. And I think, hey, if you're going to finish off a season, JR, for two of the guys that have led the way in the combination and the chemistry against the super buds of Brady Tkachuk and Josh Norris, nice way to end up finish off the season.
Josh Norris's 17th goal of the season. Here's kind of weird because it was Norris, Tkachuk, and Batherson became the number one line. They were put together, what, 5-7 games ago, something like that. We even had an attempt to name the line at one point when you were away. I'll take her back to the boys and see what they say, said Drake Batherson, and really didn't fly from there. They all finish with, coincidentally enough, 17 goals each. Tkachuk, Norris, and Batherson all end with 17 goals. Connor Brown leads the way with 21. Brady Tkachuk, with that assist last night, wins the team scoring title. That was the point that put him over the top as he finished a point ahead of Norris and Brown. With he had 36 points. They had 35. Batherson had 34. So a little bit of bragging rights for Brady Tkachuk in the dressing room as well.
Yeah, and you start to go through it. You look at the top line. I don't know in Connor Brown if he, well, if he can get 20 goals a year, you're certainly more than thrilled. Old Jimmy Stew, you're going to get to that. So I think you mark it down, at least offensively, JR. You look at those five players and say, hey, there's some emergence of some offense that you can start to count on a little bit. And, yeah, it was a real nice play there they ended up having. And, yeah, as I said, it really has been fun to watch the growth and maturation. Tkachuk, hey, been great since day one, but certainly from Norris and Batherson, from where the season started, from where expectations were at, this is the fun part of a rebuild, fun part of homegrown talent. I know Norris came over in a trade, but came over as a teenager. This is the whole part where you fall in love with, right? It's just watching these guys from draft day and turning pro and playing the American League or the National Hockey League and just watching them continue to get better and better. And that top line there has certainly been a whole lot of fun to watch this year.
So the Sens, of course, finished strong We all know that. 9-2-1 in their last 12 games. And 3 months ago today, they were dead last, February 13th in the NHL, with 2 wins in their first 15 games. We wondered if they would win 10 games all year. And lo and behold, their last 41 games, they finish over 500 with the win last night. 21 wins and 20 losses. But the poor start to the season buried them in terms of any hopes to even be a playoff contender. Here's a head coach DJ Smith post-game last night talking about that.
I think the right way to look at it is we learned a real good lesson. And if you don't play as a team, and if everyone's not all in at the same time, and you don't do all the right things, it can get away from you and get away from you real quick. And, you know, so, yeah, we can always look at what if. But I think our team got better. I think our young guys got to play a lot, and they got better. So I think we're in a good spot going forward.
There you go. There's DJ Smith's summation on the poor start and the very good finish for Ottawa.
Yeah, and here, and it'll be, we can talk until now in Talktober, and for a second-year coach, JR.
Talktober.
Well, Talktober.
Trademark that for Simmer.
Oh, a little trade. Did I say that?
Yeah, okay. You said Talktober.
Okay, a little Talktober. Yeah. Learning for a general manager, learning for a coach, learning for a young hockey team, and I'll go back to COVID, long time off. I'll go back to training camp, a short training camp with no games, but a lot of this, quite simply, is on the general manager and coach. I mean, the off season of the acquisitions that came in, the lineup choices that the coach made early on. I'll put a lot on Matt Murray, but that was also the general manager's choice. And also from a defensive system, they were an absolute gong show to start the year. That's what got away. They learned. Why did they get better? Well, they got better because they got rid of most of those older players, played the younger players. They finished strong. Now you just look forward, but like everybody on every job, you learn. And now certainly a lot has been learned, and it certainly sets them up for next year. But hey, next year's training camp, man, oh man, hit the hit the ground running. Jesus.
Between Talktober and ground running.
No, here's what happened, hey? JR. Behind the scenes, I spilt my coffee. And so I had to go.
Oh, it's throwing you for a loop?
I had to go. I grabbed Hammer's high test. Now I tried to put some of it in my mouth, and it's steaming hot, so it's now burnt my tongue. So I'm going to have a bit of trouble here for the next 4 hours.
Okay. All
but
right.
Anyways, they have righted the ship on many fronts. And now next year, you got a great summer, 5 months till opening night. You're going to have a regular training camp. And hey, no excuses at this point. The club has now transitioned from a rebuild, and everybody's happy. This will be the first time, in my estimation, JR, next fall, now expectations come. And expectations come, that's a whole new ball game. And I think they're in a pretty good spot now based on manager, coach, and players, where they're going to have to end up meeting those, especially the first 20 games of next year.
Yeah, we saw perhaps a piece that might be a part of things, not necessarily a key piece, make his season debut last night. And Parker Kelly comes as, talk about kids that come as advertised. Everybody said, hey, if you haven't watched this guy, all he does is hit guys on the other team and get under their skin.
Sure,
and he played 7.5 minutes last night. And let's see, I counted Jake Muzzin at least 3 times. Morgan Riley went after him hard. I'm gapping on who the other one. There's at least 3, I'll call them star Maple Leaf players, that were all recognizing, who the hell is number 45, and why does he keep hitting me? And he ends up getting, after he got buried by Morgan Riley on a delayed penalty, actually scoring in his NHL debut. So what a night for him.
Yeah, it really was. And you point to kind of the making up of the hockey team, and you look at a first line, a second line, certainly a top 9 forwards, Jer, and then you point to Austin Watson returning. Where does Mr. Kelly fit in? And as the Senators build that up, do you have that ability? And we kind of always circle back to the St. Louis line a couple of years ago that they had as a fourth line, but is there one other piece internally or that they could put together to exactly have that to start to? And when you really look at the group, this is, to me, was a nice part, that they finally had a group of young players and team overall that could finally, after I'd say 10 years, play with some pace, get on people, pressure people, and boy, putting together a crash line there on that fourth line, I think would be really refreshing to see next fall as we start the season.
Well, one of the amazing transformation that we saw as the season went on, and part of it may have been just, you know, optically as you watch the team, you know, on your television every night to start the season when they had the guys, especially in the back end, that just couldn't move the puck, couldn't get the puck out of their own end. Yeah. It was like the team was stuck in mud. And I'm not trying to put all the blame on those guys. The team overall, the system was wrong. You know, the players didn't fit. They were all new to each other. For a lot of different reasons, it was a real slog.
Yeah, for sure.
And it just looked slow.
Yeah.
And then they changed the system. The young players got better. They changed out some of the players in the back end. So the breakout became way better. And all of a sudden, the team, and you know, last night I'm just sitting there watching and going, man, they look like one of the fastest teams in the NHL all of a sudden. Yeah, they're zipping the puck around and dump and chase and all that other stuff. Like all the teams, and I don't think that the team, like they did replace some players that were slower with some players that were faster, for sure.
Yeah.
But it was just their ability to get the puck out of their own zone, to transition the puck up the ice, to get the puck in, and once they did, throw it around. But everything led to the feeling that they're just playing fast hockey now, whereas they seem like a real slow team before.
No doubt. I mean, again, you go to the start of the year and you look a step on to Anisimov, you have Coburn, you have Brown, you end up having Gabranson, you don't even have Zubin. Certainly Riley was better, but Branstrom has come in and played nicely for him. The pick of Mete, then all of a sudden up front, Jerry, you start to move some of those things out. You put Formanton in. Like I've said early in the season when they're struggling, all you look at is every day a little bit of an improvement. Even when Ryan DeZingel hopped in for what they had, you get faster. Now, philosophically, and I put out on the weekend, and you're having some fun with, this is really on the back end, the big part, because I think as a forward group, you know, you can kind of round it out, and I think they're very fortunate to have a Brady Tkachuk and some of the other pieces where they've got a nice mix of skill, a nice mix of speed and size. On the back end, philosophically, easy to say that you want to get bigger, and I know when I put out the defense, you said you need a little sandpaper, which I so agree. But man, it's hard to find the Colton Parekos of the world, right? Like, you know, hey, I want to get bigger, but how many bigger guys can actually play? And do you want to go to Bernhard Docker, who's not a massive guy? Do you want to go to Branstrom, to Zub, to Zaitsev, to basically Mete, to Shabbat, and say, okay, we're going to take our chances a little bit. We'd like to get bigger, but philosophically, you know what? We're going to take a chance here that as a skating team, that's going to end up being our strength. So that'll be interesting to kind of follow and kind of balance, because as I said, hey, who doesn't want a Mark Mathot, you know, on your team? And but it's really hard to find those bigger men that can actually skate and play. And in this case, when they loaded up with Coburn to Gabranson to Brown, sure, you got bigger, but that's not going to work in today's National Hockey League, as you said. You know, unless you have a hell of a compliment on the other side of that player, when you put those types of duos together, you're asking for trouble. And we saw that early in the season.
I have to say that, and listen, I've seen Victor Mete play a little bit in Montreal, but I don't track Montreal nearly as close as I watch, you know, you watch every Sens game, so you know all of the players intimately, right? Players on the other team, you know, a few of the star players, you know, some of the other players, and you have feeling, but
you watch them with the puck a lot, right? Yeah. You don't really break them down.
No. Yeah. And then I watch Victor Mete, and it's not just the game last night, but just the 14 games, but especially the game last night. I mean, he had three or four times in which he just broke the puck out of his own end on his own, carried the puck up the ice, and either, you know, passed it off for a scoring opportunity or a play of some kind, or got it into the other end for a change or whatever. I'm kind of watching this guy play and go, how does Montreal give away that guy for free?
Yeah.
How is he not? Why would you give away Victor Mete and then have to trade for? They traded for Gustafson, right? Eric Gustafson, who's an offensive player. And Mete's not necessarily a points producer, but he's a puck mover, sure. How do you give away those players and then turn around the trade deadline and have to add defensemen? Well, it boggles my mind.
Okay, and here is the funniest part, JR. It's not like that Mark Bergevin wouldn't have sent out an email to the entire National Hockey League and said, listen, Victor Mete is available. I mean, you generally do that before you put a guy on waivers. Nobody in the National Hockey League, I assume, was interested, unless he thought, I'm going to pull a trick here. They already lost Jolson earlier in the year, right? So, you're not looking at this and thinking, can we sneak him through? This is the amazing part of, first of all, in Ottawa, you're afforded, and this is why I look at teams on waivers, even Paul a few years ago. If you're a bad team, you take flyers on players. This is your opportunity to get free looks on guys on expiring contracts. You don't like him, don't qualify him. If he's on a two-way deal, grab a hold of him. And in the case of Mete, and when you watch him play, this is the trick and this is what happened. In junior, he's a puck transporter. He's not a true guy that slows the play down, makes plays. But people got fooled by him, and they thought he was going to come into Montreal and run the power play. When you watch him skate up ice, he does run out of track at times, right? That's not really his thing. Mm-hmm. But the fact that he can, as you said, get there, it's refreshing. And he, to me, he has come here. He looks confident. He looks competitive. He looks like a guy that had all these expectations, and in Montreal, they build you up and they break you down. He got a fresh start at a young age, JR, and I think it's a great pickup for Ottawa. And it just looks like a guy that has a new lease on life. Nobody here cares that he had expectations in Montreal, so I totally agree with what you're saying, and I would assume that they're going to sign this guy. I think he's a real nice fit where he can move all over your lineup, and as you said, he grabs a hold of that puck. He just has to make a decision as he gets to the neutral zone what he wants to do, but the fact that you're in the neutral zone, it's a hell of a lot better than we saw earlier in the season. So I agree with you. I think that's been a real nice pickup for Ottawa. And that transition of switching out a couple of players, as you said, it makes them look like a completely different hockey team now.
Elliot Friedman reported on the Hockey Night broadcast last night that, to use his words, there is optimism that extensions for both Artem Zub and Victor Mete will be done soon regarding the Sen. So they're already in talks.
I'm sure
they either have been or are about restricted free agents. But specifically, the comment last night was to Zub. Makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
But Mete is an interesting one at all as well because, again, if you didn't like what you saw, you could just move on from him. You picked him up for free. You could let him go. But there's no reason to do that. But the fact that it sounds like they're doing more than just renewing his contract, because they have the right to do that. They essentially could have renewed him at his money plus 10%, I believe, right? So minimum dollars. But it sounds like there may be maybe a bit more of a commitment to him.
No, I agree. And I'm just trying to pull up on the cap friendly, JR, because you're right. If you make less than the league average, which he does, then as you said, it ends up being a 10% thing. And you just decide on him. And for Victor Mete, looks like he's happy. He's found a home. He is looking at that. And he's coming off a contract right now, JR. How much do you think he's making?
I'm looking at right now. Is it 850?
735.
Oh, 735.
Actually, a little surprised. So what's happened to him is he's taken his qualifying offer, you know, when he finishes entry level deal. So think of for that player, and what could you work out for him where he kind of wondered in Montreal? Here's the beauty of waivers and the favor the Montreal Canadiens did to him. Where do you think Victor Mete goes as a hockey player if he sits in the press box the rest of the year in Montreal, right? Does Montreal just say, hey, here's a qualifying offer again, 10% on 735. Oh, I'm up to 800. Not that by our standards, we wouldn't like that. But he has now come to Ottawa. Now Ottawa goes to him and gets progressive and says, listen, let's sit down on a three-year deal and let's bump you up to $1.5 million. I don't even know the number.
You'd go 3 years on Mete?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, really?
At the right money? Because again, I'm just saying is that if I start to plug guys in and I look at this and say, okay, for a nice contract that's not crazy, that if he's slotted as a left D in the third pairing, that if I'm getting into good money here, I'd have to kind of go through and break it down. I'm just pulling a number. But as far as term, I wouldn't have any problem with that right now. I think this has been a real nice pickup. And if he slots properly at the right dollars, I wouldn't have a problem making a three-year commitment.
Because you're getting to a point now, because you already gave 5 years to Zub.
Yeah.
Zaitsev is in for three more years beyond this one.
Yeah.
You've got, of course, Shabbat.
You're
getting into a point, and then you've got Sanderson will come at the end of this next year, and presume that he'll jump right into the National Hockey League.
Yeah, yeah.
Jacob Bernard Docker maybe starts next year in Belleville. Maybe he's there for the entire year. But if you go 3 years, let's fast forward a couple of years from now, you might have, you might be paying more than six guys one-way dollars.
So, yeah, yeah.
And I know you're not making a huge commitment.
Oh, yeah.
When I think of 3 years, I think of a player that I am a for sure on, and I think that he is going to be part of my top six.
Yeah.
For me, I got the chance next year, if I'm Ottawa, I would just do a year with him, and I would say, okay, I'd like to see you do it another year. Because, again, he's another guy that he's not going to put up 40 points where you're going to, and so his contract's up, now I'm going to have to blow my brains out and pay him, huge amounts of dollars. Like, he's, if he does everything that Ottawa wants him to next year and his contract is up, he's going to get a bump next year. He's never going to be a guy that commands big dollars, I guess is my point.
Yeah, no.
So I'd rather get a free look for another year.
Yeah, yeah. And I understand that. In my spot, and I kind of go back to Mark Borowiecki now a little further along, just little pieces here, JR, based on the dollars. And I'm talking in the sphere of, worst case scenario, if I gave him 3 years and it's $1.25 million between $1.5 million, if my defense in a couple of years gets so good that he's my seventh defenseman at that money and at that depth and with that experience, I think last night he was playing, what, game number 200 as an NHL career? I don't have a problem with that. So, hey, I'd have to get, you know, sit down, look at the depth chart. As you said, Sanderson comes in, that's great.
Yeah, Brännström.
You've got Bernhard Docker. Well, yeah, let's see what happens with Brännström. Let's get to next year, the next 20 games. But if I can start to legitimately create that kind of depth, create that type of mobility on the back end, yeah, I'd start slotting some of these guys. Because I'll also say, now this, you can talk about Sanderson coming in. We'll see what happens with the draft. I have no idea where Lassie Thompson is. And when you look at the organizational depth on defense, you may look at that right now, JR, but I wouldn't exactly say the cavalry's coming. I mean, between Bernhard Docker and Sanderson, mix in what's already there, if I can create a little bit of stability, get some term on both Zub and Mete, start to lay some of the groundwork, if I get to that spot here in a couple of years where all of a sudden some of these guys are being squeezed, I'd be really happy to be in that spot if I'm the Ottawa Senators, because we just have not had stability on this blue line for over a decade.
Yeah. Yeah. Not disagreeing with anything you said. You know, in my scenario, they're either trading for or signing at least a mid-range defenseman to fast forward things next season.
You think
because
so?
Yeah. I think if they, yeah. No, that's what I would like to see them do. I think if they're rolling back with the same six next year, I don't see that as being sustainable as a playoff contender next year. I don't think that defense is good enough.
Yeah,
I disagree.
No. I'm not disagreeing. I'm only wondering, and we kind of went through the scenario. Like, I don't see the Shabbat Zaitsev pairing changing from the way the season ended. I don't see Brännström Zub changing. So if I say that's the top four and I'm going to extend Mete, I've got Brown already under a one-way contract and the coach likes him. I don't know. I don't know realistically, JR. First of all, it's so hard to find the guy to sign. Like who are you signing that's any good? And then you start to get into trades. We saw what came over this last offseason. They just don't exist. I mean, if you want to be super bullish, okay. I'd like to know who that player ends up being, what the money is, or what the trade ends up being. Then you do get into Bernhard Docker. You do get into some of the other guys. You get into Lassie Thompson. I'm not disagreeing at all, but my prediction is that opening night, quite simply, the pairings are going to end up being Shabbat Zaitsev, Brännström Zub, and I think you're going to see Mete and Brown. That's my prediction for opening night next fall.
That doesn't fill me with a huge amount of confidence.
I know it doesn't, but I also wonder.
I think it's okay.
Well, yeah, I'm not going to disagree on that either, but I'd also say that there might be a little bit of, hey, you might be a tad gun-shy. I mean, the crew that you rolled in here this last offseason from a defenseman standpoint, and as I said, I just also understand that working in the National Hockey League, you can sit and talk about that, but who the hell is that player? And we've now got another 8 or 10 jobs in Seattle. It's a thin group out there. Don't look any further than the Edmonton Oilers and a lot of other teams that would be thrilled to add a defenseman that's of any caliber. I just don't know if they exist, JR. That's all.
All right, 6:44. A couple quick texts to wrap up the segment. Caleb writes in, actually, Fraser, same thing. Was it the last time the Sens went to overtime? Was it against Montreal? And that was the one Tkachuk was out there for too long, right? And I said, you know, why do they start Tkachuk every overtime? Okay. I don't think they need to start Tkachuk every overtime. Should he play in overtime? Yes. Does he need to start every overtime? No. Yeah. So needless to say, after Tkachuk makes the game-winning play last night, of course, I'm taking some. I got broad shoulders. Yeah. I'm all good with it. Bring it on. We don't throw wrenches, Caleb, on Thursdays. I'll take a midweek mouchoir if you want. I'll take your mouchoir. Yeah. He made the game-winning play last night, so no disputing that. Yeah. I just say on every occasion, I don't know that you necessarily have to start with the same color.
Yeah, and I really think, JR, with the new season, I think all this stuff has to stop fresh. I think Chris Valentine, Chopper, coming after you every time
Connor Brown scores.
Because I've lived in that house. I've lived in the Bobby Ryan house when all of a sudden he'd have a big night and it just starts piling on you.
The thing with Connor Brown was, look, I was having some fun that the guy could never score a goal.
For sure,
saying he wasn't a good hockey player.
I made the guy a million bucks a year last year
by talking him up all summer.
Exactly.
He should be, like I said, he should be sending me, like every Friday, I should be getting like a pizza. or something like that from Connor.
We were basically like Jiffy Lube. We come in and just pumped his tires. Like, he was sleeping in his car, JR, and we were just pumping it up. The three of us working together. Yeah. Hey, we had Billy Joel, the Uptown Girl song playing, and we were just working that car, pumping tires,
Pierre
getting a
Dorian
new deal.
Was listening every single day on his way to the office. We were talking up Connor Brown. Yeah. All right, I'll give him the 3-year contract, $3.5 million. You guys get your way.
Yeah.
And he got rewarded. He rewarded him last night with a first goal of the year, team leading, and a league leading fifth shorthanded goal. And Connor Brown was all over it again last night. What a great, in all seriousness, what a great, a good year. But the second half of the season, the goal scoring started to come. And again, he was on pace for 30. Is he going to score 30 in a typical year? Probably not. His shooting percentage is probably a little higher than if things regress back to the way they typically do. But hey, as you said earlier, 20 goals. You got 20 goals from Connor Brown next year, you'd be more than happy.
Yeah, you
with
really
everything
would.
Else he brings
and
to the
and
team.
Also in the duos, I mean, whether it's Pinto or not, if you ever end up finding that guy to play with Stutzla, nothing wrong with kind of like Hyman is in Toronto, kind of having that foot soldier, you slide him in there. And I also think from a Team Canada standpoint, they have to be watching him and Paul in the PK and seeing the chemistry, JR, right? And saying, hey, we could just transport both of these guys in, and I would assume they'll probably be the featured pair on the penalty kill come World Championship time.
All right, 6:47. We will take a break, get some of your thoughts when we come back as the season has come to an end. The Sens beat the Leafs 4-3 in overtime. Josh Norris with the game winner. Again, the player's going to start to meet with the media, exit interviews in about an hour from now. And after Pierre joins us, we'll revisit some of those interviews as well. Get the players' thoughts as they wrap up this 2021 season and look ahead to next season and beyond. You are listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200. Welcome back, 6:54. Garbage bag day for the Sens today. Coming off a 4-3 overtime win over the Toronto Maple Leafs last night to wrap up the season. Josh Norris had the game winner. Logan Brown made his season debut. I think a lot of Ottawa fans were interested to see what he would do. He ends up skating 9 minutes and 40 seconds overall, but just a team low 5.5 minutes at 5-on-5. So he did see some power play time, but not a whole lot of 5-on-5 time. What were your thoughts, Simmer, on Logan Brown's game?
You know what, as far as open ice, JR, I like the pace, as I expected and kind of predicted, where he's at physically, coming off of a back injury, whatever. His physical strength isn't there, his pace isn't there, so I thought the coach kind of, hey, at 9 minutes made sense. You saw some features of when set up in the zone, and certainly in the first period, a beauty past old Artie Party, who probably should have put it home there. I tried to look at kind of the glass half full. The pace was better than I expected, but the other part of it, he's just not in that spot after missing that much time. And as I said on my tweet last night, I just stay the course with the guy. I still think there's a lot of opportunity there. I still look at basically Norris, and the two slot is pretty much wide open, so keep the player, protect him against Seattle, have another good summer, hope he can stay healthy, and see what he can end up doing, because certainly got the hockey sense and got the skill, but as we've all said, got to stay healthy.
I thought it had a couple of good shifts. You mentioned the one play. That one sticks out. Anisimov should have scored. I mean, there's no doubt about that. It was a beautiful pass, beautiful look, and that's Logan Brown's calling card, man. Yeah, he knows how to set up plays.
Yeah.
As the game went on, I thought he sort of faded a little bit. He did have the one opportunity in the third period when he should have shot it, and too much looking for a pass.
Yeah.
Whether it's unselfishness or lack of confidence, no one knows that for sure. But I thought good start, actually. As the game went on, didn't see a whole heck of a lot, which stands to reason. All the things that you said yesterday about things that will be difficult for him played out.
Yeah.
The conditioning is probably not where it needs to be. Confidence is not where it needs to be.
Yeah.
So you saw that, right? You're full of vim and vigor to start. You've got nervous energy. You make some good plays. Then as the game goes on, you just kind of fade. And that's what I thought his game was last night.
Yeah, and it is funny on TV, JR, because you watch it and it looks so easy. In the National Hockey League, we saw early on, you're just as simple as trying to gain the zone. You make just that one play where all of a sudden there's leverage on you. It's a turnover. Like, what looks obvious on TV for the player, you're kind of moving along thinking, okay, can make one more play here. And again, that's the part where when I watched the American League game, transcended a little bit yesterday, is as said, the hockey strength isn't there because you've had that time off. You know, he's a big guy that doesn't necessarily have a lot of leverage to start with. But like I say, I'll take the positive of I didn't expect the open ice pace. And I took that as a kind of a pleasant surprise. Now, what do they do organizationally? I don't see why you give a guy a game last night like that unless you're saying to him, listen, here you are to finish the season. Now go down to the American Hockey League. Back to, and it gets a little bit repetitive, but it did with Nick Paul. Hey, I don't care that you're whatever pick, 11th pick overall, go back and have a hell of a summer. Maybe do the Nick Paul. Maybe show up at training camp and be like, oh my God, this guy's kind of figured it out here, and see if we can turn him into a player. Because there's no doubt, as I said, when healthy, I know there's some other limitations there, but you can't teach size, you can't teach skill, and he certainly has hockey sense coming out the yin-yang.
You got a guy, though, whose dad played a long time in the National Hockey League, and I think, you know, all indications are is very much in his ear and very much a part of what's going on regarding Logan Brown and his future.
Yeah,
I understand everything that you've said.
Yeah.
I just wonder whether there's interest from their side in continuing this relationship.
Yeah,
and I know at
the
end of the day, the Ottawa Senators hold all the cards.
Yeah,
they
retain
they retain his rights. And they can just renew his contract, and he really doesn't have a say in the entire matter. But there's also the side of, if you're the Ottawa Senators, you've got a group, a young group right now going forward that seems fully invested in the team and in each other.
Yeah, yeah.
One thing that you don't want is to have an unhappy camper in your camp.
Oh, for sure.
Which,
yeah.
And I'm not saying that this is happening.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm saying that's a possibility. So I think it's... I think that's a consideration that Logan Brown very much, the possibility is that that he and his camp could go to the team in the summer and say, it just ain't working here.
Yeah.
And it's not you, it's me. However good relationships break up on a personal level, maybe that's, and maybe the Sens agree. Maybe the Sens have had enough as well.
Yeah, no, for sure, JR. And again, been in those circumstances, lots of players. What I'll also say is, hey, be very careful about the old green or grass being greener somewhere else. Okay, that's fine. If I'm managing the team, he's changed out his agent. What's the message? And I'll say this again, and a great quotes by Kevin Adams yesterday, and anybody I've worked for, from David Poile to George McPhee to John Ferguson Jr. Remember George always saying, listen, man, you know, you'd have a meeting when we're having some tough times, and he'd go into the room and say, listen, anybody doesn't want to be here, come see me. I'm going to get ready. And I thought Kevin Adams basically said that about Jack Eichel yesterday. You get to these spots and it's really difficult. You go back to the Nash situation in Columbus. It sucks. I would really be, again, I don't know all the dynamics. I can't believe, based on Logan Brown growing up with Brady Tkachuk, knowing a lot of these kids, including Norris, to everybody else, that by the time he steps into that Ottawa locker room, now the question whether he deserves to be there, I know he doesn't want to be in the American Hockey League, I'd be shocked that he doesn't look around and say, man, what a great spot to end up being. Is it really going to be better at the next spot? But to your point, yeah, every dynamic, with, unless you're in there understanding what's happening from the dad to the agent to the player to everything else, yeah, when guys don't want to be there, as a manager, you have to make a decision. Now, if he just wants a fresh start because he doesn't feel like he's getting the opportunity, that's up to the manager to kind of manage the parts. But I totally understand what you're saying. They got something real good going here. But as I said, I find it really hard to believe that once he's in that Ottawa locker room, everything else is kind of shut off, that he doesn't look around and realize, man, there's a spot still sitting there for me. There's an opportunity to maybe play with a Timmy Stutzle and a Connor Brown going into next year. This is a pretty sweet spot to be in right now. Is it really going to be that much better somewhere else? And how much interest is there from now the other 31 teams in the National Hockey League?
Yeah, but as you said, there's no guarantee he's in Ottawa. So if you bring you renew him, you bring him back, he's not good enough, or you want him to start next year in Belleville.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm also a big believer in team dynamics and bad energy and all that other stuff.
Sure.
And I'm not saying he's going to go in there and blow up the team, but I'm saying if you got a guy in there who nobody wants to be in the minor leagues, I understand that all part of it. When you've been in the organization for 5 or 6 years, and you feel like you should be at a level above or given an opportunity, and you don't, you can drag a lot of people down.
You can, and now that would also
especially
be
young, impressionable.
But that would also be from a handling standpoint, JR. What you're also saying is that he's going to end up in Belleville, which I don't want that in Belleville. That's not Ottawa, and if that's the line you cross, where you say at the end of training camp next year he's not good enough, I would make the argument though, as we comb through the National Hockey League, if you can't play ahead of, I like Shane Pinto a lot, Where in the National Hockey League from a depth chart standpoint do you think Logan Brown's going to play on another team? Do you know what I mean? That you know, be real careful here as you go through this. This is one of the bottom teams in the National Hockey League, and people aren't locking you in as a second center on any other team. Then you get into third and fourth. Does Logan Brown even fit into that spot? But I know it's fresh starts. We just talked about Victor Mete. But like I said, it's still sitting there for the taking as far as what Ottawa needs right now. So, hey, we'll see how it's handled. What I would do if I'm Dorion, listen, good summer, come back to training camp. Maybe it's a fork in the road next year at the end of training camp if we decide to send you to Belleville. But I'd stay the course right now.
All right, thoughts on that? Always welcome. You can text us at 12-1200, tweet at us at TSN1200. One of many questions facing the Sens. Real positive end of the year, but a lot of questions as we head into the offseason. Maybe first and foremost, and we'll get into this when we come back. Contracts for Brady Tkachuk, certainly he's the big one, but Drake Batherson and a few others as well. That is going to create a very interesting summer for Pierre Dorion Company. We'll get into all of that when we come back. Sens win their final game of the season, beat the Leafs in overtime. We'll get the latest news from 580 CFRA, run down the scoreboard, the details on the win, and come back and chat with you when we return on this Thursday morning. We're glad you're with us on Sports Radio TSN 1200.